absolute a voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out, say.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
We want to wrap up on our series on the spirit of Caleb. Clap your two hands for Jesus. The spirit of Caleb. We said Caleb inherited his promise, the promises of God, because he had a different spirit. Numbers 14:24 says, but my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit, and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he went, and his seed shall possess it. His children's children shall possess it. May God bring you into your promises. Let your amen be a believer's one. I said, may God bring you into his promises for your life. You see, there are many people that die without seeing the promises of God for their lives. Though they be Christians, though they be children of God, though they be part of the elected ones, the appointed ones, but they have the tendency of leaving this planet Earth without seeing the appointment of God for their life. But I pray for 50 people here right now that before you leave this planet called Earth, you would have seen the glory of God concerning your life. You would have seen the promises of God concerning your life. Can I hear your amen like a believer? Hallelujah. And so we have been investigating throughout the whole month to see what contributed to Caleb being one of the only two people to see Canaan, even though many, many, many people left Egypt together with him. Bible says that the same gospel that was preached to us was also preached to them. But it did not benefit them. Why? Because they did not mix it with faith when they heard it. So there are things that contribute to someone receiving what God had promised him and another not seeing the promise. But I pray that when God strikes a separation, may you be part of the category that saw the promises of God. May you never be denied of your promises. Amen. Can I hear your amen? So what are the things that contributed? We said number one is the spirit of faithfulness. Bible says that for he had followed me faithfully. So the spirit of faithfulness can make you receive the promises of God. Faithfulness to God, to man, and to yourself. Number two, we said the spirit of possibility. That what you think can affect what you attract. And what you receive. He thought positive. He thought it is. He says we are well able. We can do this. We can take over Jericho. We can conquer the city. Don't be afraid. Irrespective of the giants that are there. And because of his positivistic mentality, God handed the land over to him. And he was able to enter. Can I hear an amen? So you must be positive. Tell somebody you must be positive. Then we said number three is the spirit of warfare. Now, when you are positive, it doesn't end there. You must now war. You must now enter into a wrestle. You must be ready to fight for the manifestation of the prophecies over your life. And we are spiritual people. We don't fight physical like he fought physically. We fight spiritually. The weapons for our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Our warfare are not physical warfare. They are spiritual warfare. That's why 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18, Paul advised his son concerning the prophecies that have gone ahead. You shall make a good warfare. So Caleb was a man of war. That is why God handed over the land unto him. I pray that may your warfare never be in vain. Are you here with me tonight? I said your warfare will never be in vain. Whatever you are ready to wrestle for, may God cause you to handle it. May God cause you to possess it. If you will wrestle for that destiny over your life, then God will cause you to see it. Can I hear an amen? Don't sleep on your bed and say that nyame beye, God will do it. That thing doesn't work. In as much as we know that God is the one who is doing all things, God will not come down from heaven to come and write the application for you, to come and look for customers, to come and then take you to school. You must get yourself to school. You must write some remedial. You must fight some good fight of faith. You must pray some prayers. You must wrestle your destiny into glory. Can I hear your amen? Then number four is the spirit of responsibility. Just in the same spirit, the spirit of responsibility, that our Christian faith is not an irresponsible faith. There is the what to do in order to get what God says he will do for you. There are things that God will do for you, and there are things that you must do for yourself. God will never come to do for Prince what Prince must do for Prince. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God will never come to do. That is why we are going out there to invite people. If God says that he will save the lost, he says, I'll give unto you the hidden. Ask of me, I'll give them to you as your inheritance, and the utmost part of the earth as thy possession. Where is it? Psalm 2 verse 8. He said that ask and we have been praying, but aside praying, we have printed invitation cards. This is called responsibility. Say responsibility. That one, nobody will come and do it for us as a church. We must take our own legs and go out there and look for the lost we prayed for. Bible says that Jesus said the harvest is indeed great. The laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send from more laborers. When he finished making them pray that prayer, then he said, now, oh yeah, come. You are the laborers. Go. Say responsibility. So whatever God has promised you, there is a responsibility aspect to it. If you fail to see the result, that you will live in a fool's castle. Oh, God will grow the church. God will grow the church. God will grow the church when you step out. God will win your brother when you open your mouth. There is always the word, even for your salvation, there is what to do. He says that if you open your mouth and confess Jesus, confess him as Lord of your life and believe in your heart, then you will be saved. So there is always the word to do for everything that God promises us. So for the accessing of Canaan, there was the what to do, and Caleb and Joshua did it. So they were the only two among thousands of people who left Egypt. May you be part of the few. That's why many are called, but few are chosen. Many people are invited for interview, but only few are chosen, because they can do what is being required, or they have what is being required. Can I hear an amen? You will not miss your destiny. If your amen is loud, you'll be the one. I said, you will not miss your promise and the promises of God for your life. Can I hear an amen? Clap your two hands. Then we said also, is the spirit of faith. He believed. He believed that they can take the land, and he acted on it. We said, faith claims it. Faith is a spirit. Faith believes and confesses. Faith takes the needed steps. We said so much about faith. And today is number six. I'm doing number six and number seven, then I'll be out of your way. Number six, the spirit of Caleb. If God says that Caleb had another spirit, and so he will see the land, he will enter, then what was the spirit that Caleb had? The other spirit that Caleb had that you and I need in order to inherit our promises and our Canaan is the spirit of urgency. Everybody say urgency. You are not saying, say urgency. If you are Nigerian, you say urgency. The spirit of urgency, or the spirit of urgency. Numbers chapter 13 verse 30. The Bible says that, and Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Now everybody say at once. When I got there, the scripture hit me, pam. He didn't say let us think of going there someday. is that let us go there at once. You see, there are things that will happen to you, but they will happen to you if you have an at once mentality. There are things that can only happen to you if you are ready to make it happen now. Like I told you, that faith is now. The spirit of urgency is an attitude that a lot of people don't have it. That is why among the four temperaments that we have, it has been proven that the most successful of all the four temperaments, even though they have a lot of negative sides, is the choleric. It's the choleric. That's why most leaders are cholerics. Most leaders, most pastors who are strong out there and you see them doing wild things out there, you get close to them, people around them normally say, there are some way it's too hard. A lot of hard people control the world. They are politicians. They are tycoons. So you say that your boss on senior mercy. It looks like they are insensitive to your needs. It's like the vision they have, that's what they want to achieve. Whatever you are saying doesn't hold water. Do you know someone like that? Who? But the world is ruled by cholerics. I'm telling you. They are the born leaders. If there is anything like that, they are the people who take charge when they are your friend. They may be older than you, but they'll start controlling you if you give them chance. If it's your junior brother, he'll start controlling you. If it's your junior sister, he'll start controlling you. If he gets a little money, then you are dead. Amen. Now, the reason why it is proven that they end up being successful mostly in life, more than the sanguine, who are always the party, enjoyment, chilling type, and the happy, happy people cracking jokes every corner. And they do well more than the phlegmatic, who are mostly slow by sure, slow. Every day, busa, when piano, on piano. You don't move deep, you won't go. They are always at Oti, maybe Otima, or ye Juma Bako, be ye Juma 20 years. No, because you see, I'm not complaining, but we'll move it that. Flex. They turn out to be more successful than melancholies. Because melancholies, they are too emotional. So their workers take them for a ride. My wife is saying, oh, go home. Your business can't grow like that. They are too emotional. Every excuse, I accept it. Because they have too much compassion. That's melancholies. Uh-huh. But those who you think, that's why the Chinese, their companies are booming. But the Chinese will not listen to all the stories you are telling them. As long as it's paying you, whether you are dying, you must appear. So they are ruling the world. What I'm trying to say is that one of the characteristics of choleric is urgency. Say urgency. When something enters into their mind to do, they want to do it now. It's like they sometimes they don't even take time to check what are the pros and cons and the implications of what they are going to do. Sometimes they will rush into the thing before they realize that, hey, I didn't check something. So when they make mistake too, they make big mistake. Because they don't slow down. They are always fast. But because they are like that, they mostly succeed. Because everything, they try to do it fast. And you see, this word, Bible says that time and chance is a determinant. Time, speed. Speed is a determinant. One of the things that will make you successful in life is if you get speed. If things happen in your life fast. If it takes a long time before one thing happens in your life, you are preparing for failure in life. Things must happen speed at a faster pace. Fast. Like you look at me, most places I enter, I'm not accepted. I'm not accepted because of my age. because I look too small for those who have surrounded me. It's like it's an insult on them that is this the pastor? So I don't like going to certain places, but it is what I have to deal with. It's what I have been dealing with for years now. But you see, it must be done fast. Everything, things that happen in my life happen fast. Fast. I completed the university fast. By 22, I was coming out. By 23, I was already out there doing something. By 25, I already planting a church. By 27, I was already reverend minister. But like fast. Fast, like we don't delay. Instead of taking time, and by the time you are 40 years, you are now checking. 40! Even if you are now deciding on what to do with your life at age 29, you are working. Because by 29, some of us have worked on our vision for about 10 years. We have already taken the lead. I guess what I'm saying. Tell somebody, speed. Agency. If you marry, you marry fast. By 29, I was married fast. So, fast. Tell somebody, fast. If it must be done, it must be done fast. Do it fast. It's not like you are there, you don't know whether, okay, let me wait small. You're waiting small. Gray hair is coming. You're waiting small. Now look at you. You are growing. You are still waiting small. Say agency. Say you must have the spirit. Say, Caleb said that, let us go at once. Like, let's not delay. Oh, God has called me. I'm going to wind around and work for everybody. Then when I'm done, then I'll come. Like, will I come and meet you? You would have been in another church crowd living your life. That is, even if God will still want to save you at all costs, I will not even come and meet you. I'll come and I'll be struggling because the time I was supposed to meet you, I didn't come. I was looking for money. Say agency. Agency. And a lot of you here, you have missed certain breakthroughs in life because you delayed. You were not urgent in your decisions. Before you said Jack, the thing was gone. The opportunity was gone. Somebody has taken over. Agency, say agency. Caleb said, let us go up at once. Let's not delay at all. And let's possess it, for we are well able. I pray that whatever God has laid on your heart, may you carry it out from now. No procrastination. I'll start a business. You'll start a business. You are waiting till you are 50. What strength will you have to break the grounds for that business? You are procrastinating because you are thinking about what you eat and where you sleep and getting the best today. Urgency. Look at the urgency with which we are building the Rehoboth. As if we don't have a church to do, or as if we don't have a place for church. Don't we have a place for church? Who is sucking us from here? There's nobody sucking us. But you see, I've programmed my mind and in my spirit, I've moved on. My choleric has moved me out of protocol. Like I've moved on 1 year ago. Ask Livingston. He's always with me. Always I say, I hate to come. It's like my spirit is gone. Sometimes I just go to Mexico and just go and walk around. I'm not going to do anything. I just want to go and walk there. Instead of praying, I want to go and walk there and pray there. It's like I am already seeing my office there. I'm already seeing myself there. The church has moved. Meanwhile, here, we have extra 15 years waiting for us. Nobody has sent us out. Nobody is beating us. But we are building under pressure. We are building with speed. I see they will start out by December. I've given myself... that at the end of December, we are living here. As if somebody has a cane on me. I want to move half built and be there. I want to live. See, that is it. That is called the spirit of urgency. See, it makes us do things faster.
me start to say, is that all? I said, yes, she. I said, me, then you need it. I said, it is the attitude of failures. See, that is what makes people fail in life. That's what makes people fail. I'm telling you. That thing that says that, oh, I have time. I have time after all. And then, Obian Tame. Obian Tao, so Mre, Emre, Etao. Emre. Life is not a race because you are racing against me. I'm in my lane, you are in your lane. We are all racing against time. That's why it's called race. We are racing against what? Talk to me. We are racing against what? So what you should do at 8:20, if you do it at 8:30, you have failed already. Because by the time you are 30, there is something else you are supposed to do. You are not coming to do the 20. That means that your life has delayed for 10 years. And you see, a lot of you don't even know what you do in life. You don't even know the plan of God for your life. So whether you have delayed or not, you don't even know. It's like you are living in a world of confusion. You can't even tell. Say, may God have mercy on you. What I'm talking about tonight, is it strange? It's strange. I don't know. Caleb had a certain spirit that you and I need if we will succeed in life early. What's the essence of driving your Land Cruiser when you are an old man and somebody will drive for you? Meanwhile, God has planned that this will happen and you are delaying in life. You are pushing things further. I don't know what I'm talking to someone. So as I'm speaking, ask yourself, what are the things that I should have done before now that I have not done? What are the things? Some of you, by this time, you should have released like 3 songs. Some of you should have written books like 5. Some of you, by this time, you should have been married. You should be in your husband's house. Some of you, by this time, you should be a married man with your 2 children already. Some of you, by this time, you should be handling your own business. That you are growing from one level to another. Some of you should have been a full-fledged pastor by now. If not, that you delayed answering the call. You see, every one of you here, you just think about what I'm talking about. The spirit of urgency. There are things you should have been now that you are still not. Because you were delaying. Because you were playing around. Because you felt, I have time. But that devil that deceives you is arrested tonight. I said it's arrested tonight. And I declare that, you see, as I'm speaking, may you be provoked in the spirit to move forward. I said, may you be provoked in the spirit to move forward. May you be provoked in the spirit to try something out. Clap your 2 hands for the Lord. Are you here? Life, like I told you, is a race. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. It says, when hope is delayed, then the heart becomes sick. And when the desire comes, then it becomes a tree of life. When hope, listen, when you are expecting something and the thing keeps delaying, it's normal that you'll be discouraged. Like your heart will become sick. Your heart will become weak. That's what the Bible says. That when hope is delayed or deferred, then the heart becomes sick. You see that all your zeal is gone. You start behaving like as if you are even sick, but you are well. Is that because you are expecting something that seemed to be delaying or that seemed to be deferring? But I pray for everybody here that anything that seemed to be deferring and delaying that is causing you to have discouragement, I pray that may that thing be fast tracked for you. If your amen is loud, the Lord will do it for you. I said, if your amen is loud, the Lord will do it for you. Your assignment is only relevant within the period of its appointed time. Your assignment is only as important as the time you find yourself in. Every assignment you have is relevant as long as the timing is right. As long as the timing is right. If you miss the timing, your assignment will not be relevant. Imagine Joseph was not ready when the famine was up. He was nowhere to be found. And after the famine, he now showed up. He would have been useless. True or not true? He would have been useless. So your assignment is only relevant in the right time. That dream God has given you will only be relevant in a certain time. The ministry that I'm doing, the people that I have met, and the level where we are only I'm relevant in your life because I came at the right time. Otherwise, I will be irrelevant to you. You will not even know me from anywhere. So the assignment that God has given you will only be relevant per the time that you were given. There are certain times what God gave you will be useless. It will not be needed. It will not be needed again. It will not be needed again. It will not be needed again. If God gave someone the intelligence to come up with the antidote for coronavirus, and after the time the virus was out there killing people, this person was not ready with the antidote, but rather after and everything is gone, he has now discovered an antidote to it. Will it be relevant? No. So every one of you were created to solve a certain problem. Your life is supposed to meet a certain need. You are supposed to be a blessing to a certain people. You are supposed to be doing something at a certain time. If you delay, you become irrelevant. You see that all of a sudden it looks like baby Abe Fabiano, nothing is responding because you are behind time. You are not at the time where you are supposed to be. So the people who have surrounded you are not opening up to you. They are not helping you because they are not the people you should have been around. Huh? They are not the people you should have been around with. It's like your mates have gone ahead of you. You are behind. You are in a strange place. That is why it seems like nothing is responding. May you never delay in the name of Jesus. That is what the Bible told us in Habakkuk 2 verse 3. That for the vision is for an appointed time. The vision is for an appointed time. When it was time for me to start the fellowship, God told me several times. I was afraid about certain things. So I didn't want to. Then God appeared to me again and again and again. I was still being stubborn. Then God now had to threaten me. Like threat. Like if you don't do it, I'll kill you. Like life threat. And I thought I was the only person hearing it and seeing it. Now God took it to third party. So I'll be sure that he means business. I'll be there and then this man of God will call me. This is the dream I had about you, Prince. Be very careful. God says he's calling you to do something. Otherwise, you are going to suffer this. You are going to... Threat! Because the vision is for what? A particular time. If I miss the time, the people who are supposed to help me start rescue, I'll miss them. And I'll be walking about as if I don't have a helper. But my destiny helpers have gone ahead. And I'm now coming. Because perhaps I went to chop money for my father, or I want to chop some big company. I just want to enjoy somewhere. I'm now coming. I'm now 50 years. I say I'm now coming to serve God. That's why God doesn't like your leftover. Even government of Ghana, when you are 60 years, they say they won't employ you. They say you should go to pension. True or not true? It is God that will go and work. When we are about to die, they say, "Bidimi hu bemai radi." God also wants young men like us. Young men. Not pensioners. Huh? Who have gone to be bankers for years, doctors for years. Then when they now feel like they've succeeded, they say, "Okay, let me be a pastor." God is not interested in me. Don't even come. You'll be useless. The calling of God has time. Time with it. Time allocated. Time. Amen. That is why the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, is that to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to everything, every purpose. Charlie, is there some purpose you have? Is there something you want to do? There's a time. When the time passes, you are doomed. So you have to be urgent. I will say, we are a so. You have to be urgent. You see, when I was in Kumasi, there's this food that you can't eat it when it cools down. You can't eat it. When you try to eat it when it cools down, you don't feel the vibe. I don't know whether you ate some when you also in tech. Diehu. You know Diehu? Hey, then you were at be in school, pa. You don't know Diehu? Which hostel were you in? Brunei. Adumbi. Diehu is that light. That, I don't know whether it's the same as Tuozafi or whatever. I don't know what. Is it the same as Tuozafi? They call it Diehu. Diehu. And you eat it hot. Eat it hot. You can't eat it cold. Charlie, tell somebody your destiny must manifest hot, 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 hot. Now. Tell you. No. It's not when BBI soft, you know, I hard, you know. You are now coming to do it. No. Number seven. The spirit of Caleb is the spirit of divine risk taking. Today I'm talking to you about things that are not very popular, but they make people fail or succeed. Like spirit of urgency, not being slow. When God speaks to you about something, quickly you obey. When God tells you do this, quickly you obey. When God tells you do that, when God puts a dream in your heart, a vision in your heart, quickly you work on it. You don't slow down and you are now waiting for the right time, and the time never comes. The seven is the spirit of divine risk taking. Divine because it's a risk that is moved by God. It's like you take risk. Tell somebody it is risky not to take risk. Listen, in life, the world opens up for those who take risk. Yes. People who don't know how to take risk, they are the people who are locked up in their shells for life. If you are not ready to risk something, like the whole world is controlled by risk. Insurance is risk. Investment is risk. Stocks, risk. Like risk. Online trading, risk. Even those who gamble is risk. The man you are going to marry is risk. The woman you are going to marry, so because you may marry him today, tomorrow he's in a wheelchair. You only enjoy him for 2 months. Then you become a nursing wife. Today she's looking all beautiful, you are married, but it's a risk. Because after you marry her, she can bloat and lose all the vital statistics that led you. So it's a risk. Life is influenced, like it's controlled by risk. Everything is risk. If you don't risk to sit on the chair, you will be standing. If you risk to sit on the chair, you may either fall because the leg is broken, or you may still sit because you were lucky. The leg was not broken. Tell somebody, life is a risk. If you stay in your room, if you go out, it's a risk. Because if you go out, you may make money. But what if a car knocks you down? It's a risk. It's a risk. Should I pick the course? Should I not pick? It's a risk. If you pick, good news. Hooray. If you pick, you have a down car. The life itself is risky. Yeah. Life itself is risky. You see, you may want to end that. Now, don't know where. Because there are people who slept and never woke up. But you cannot say because of that, you don't take the risk of sleeping. You must sleep. Tell somebody, you must take risk. But it must be influenced by the Spirit of God. Your risk must be influenced by the Spirit of God. it must not be influenced by certain things. It must be influenced. I say, who take a risk? I was saying, Yami won't home name move you or come. Because you see, people who normally ask the question, what if it doesn't work? They can't take risk. Instead of asking what if it doesn't work, ask yourself, what if it works? It will make you take risk. Divine risk taking. Caleb said, we are well able. Let us go up at once and take the land. Let's go right now. What if the giant finish you? What if the war breaks and then kills you? What if the army destroys all of you? Caleb did not think about it. He said, let us go there now and possess the land. See, risk taking. Are you following me? Numbers 13:30. It's over there. Then Caleb quieted the people and said, let's go at once. Joshua 14, verse 10 to 12. You see Caleb again. He was 85 years. And then he says, give me the mountain. I am going to war. What if they kill him? Now you are an old man. He still says, I will take risk. What if you say, what about that? Do you know that for you to join the police or the army or all those things is a risk? Okay, what if today as you are going, a stray bullet, you don't need to go to war to die. You don't need to go to war. A bullet can locate you where you are. It's like Obi Ayede car, Abonidia. Opa, meant not come. Who said them? Car to me, T-free road. Now be ra, if ye. Now, car, now, Reverend Fieni, Nana. Obi Ayede car, Obi Kra, you know. You will be shocked. And these are realities. Accident to be sipa, Ushe nipa, baby, or not, or no way. No, be more. Baby, or no more dinner, like, or no mum. Now, where mama? In Kawaso, we no way. So, life is a risk. Abrabono, and a risk. If you are not ready to take the risk, you are not ready to move forward. But from today, may God empower your heart to be able to take the necessary risk that would move you forward. You have to take the risk. I have to take the risk to resign. The company that was employing me, that was going to give me money, clothing allowance, like enough things to handle as a young graduate. I had to say no. I was called into meetings. We have been waiting for your letter for a while now. What's happening? But then I was fasting and praying. I had to say no. I'm sorry. I had to take the risk. By the time I went to fast and pray, my father has set up certain companies. And the brand new one, we had some franchise with the Chinese company, Mindray. We've even started operating already. And I was just supposed to come and manage. And when I was called, my lines were off. So they asked someone was very close to me who works with my daddy. That where is Prince? Oh, Prince is troubled, though. He's going to pray. Then my father said, I hope he's not coming back to tell us that he's going to be a pastor. I hope. So after the third day, as I was there, I turned on my phone that day. Then the call came through from this woman. Then she called me and said, Daddy has been looking for you. I said, why? Daddy, he said that since you came back, you are not coming. What's happening? I told him you were going to pray, and he said, he hopes you are not coming to see. And that was actually what I was coming to say. And I took the risk, and I lost a valuable relationship I had. Lost money, lost support, lost everything. I was disowned like that. Nothing. I had to look for my own somewhere to go and rent, stay, live my life without any support, because I decided to turn down And that was a risk. Okay, what if when I started the church, it's still small? What if nobody came? Because you were not there. You were not there. You never made a phone call to me to tell me that, oh, Prince, resign. Resign and come. Prince, come and do church. I'll be your member. You didn't even know me. Everybody seated here was not there. 2013, none of you was there. It was a risk. But I've never regretted taking that risk. I've never. Clap your two hands for the Lord. But you see, some of you, God is telling you to start a certain business. You are still sitting in that office, taking that 1,000 Ghana, 2,000 Ghana. Meanwhile, God has told you to do something. Because of the chop money you are getting from that particular work, you are being disobedient. You are not ready to take risk. It is risky not to take risk. I said it is what? Risky not to take risk. It's risky. Clap your two hands. It's risky. I don't know whether somebody is getting what I'm saying. Caleb took the risk. And it paid off. Every risk you are going to take in this life, as led by the Spirit, may it pay off. I said, may it pay off. But sometimes, you are just one risk from your breakthrough. Sometimes, you are just one risk from your breakthrough. Sometimes, adia pa kubia nyame kachira ose ye usro se ubeye se unya kukudu na uyes adia na inka, your life will break through. You are just one step, one risk away. I was just one risk away. You are just one risk away from a major breakthrough that you may never know. Look at David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 down. Everybody saw Goliath and they ran away. When David came to the scene and saw Goliath, he should have also run, because even the elderly people were running. He, the young boy, he should have also run. But he just took one risk. And that risk made him a national champion. Immediately, people realized that this is the next king of Israel. Simple. From that day. He was anointed in his father's house secretly. But when he took the risk and he killed Goliath, what if Goliath kills him? Goliath could have just held him and lifted him up. And broke his back like that and finished him. He would have just finished him. But David did not think about what if he kills me. David was thinking about what if I win. And he went about asking questions. What will I get if I kill him? What will I get? That means that he has crossed the level of what if he kills me to the place of I will kill him. So he was actually looking at the reward. And David killed Goliath and he crossed all the politics, all the political ties. He crossed it and became the next that everybody was eyeing, that this guy is the next champion. Just because of one risk. May you be the next David in your family. I said, may you be the next David in your family. One obedient step that you will take, which is risky, it will open you up to your real destiny. To open you up. Clap your two hands for the Lord. To achieve great things, you must attempt great things. Write it down. To achieve great things, you must do what? Attempt. Say, obey to me. Enya di kesiya. I was say, uye wajin say, ube try bibi kesiya. One try bibi kesiya, unya di kesiya. If you don't try something big, if you don't take risk, if you don't dare something great, you will never get anything great. So as we pray tonight, leave this place with the spirit of Caleb. That you start thinking big, dreaming big, planning big, deciding to dare something big. What if they don't buy? They will buy. Stop thinking, what if they will not buy? And start thinking, what if they buy? What if this business I'm going to start works? What if this shop I'm going to open stands? What if they don't employ me? They will. If you don't dare great things, you never achieve great things. Nobody attempts heavyweight and get a lightweight belt. If you want to get a heavyweight belt, that oh, this the winner of the heavyweight whatever contest, you have to dare that one. You cannot go in there. Something small and expect to get something big. So divine risk taking is very important. Obed-Edom and the ark of God. In 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 11, there was a black man. Bible says he was a black man. Everybody listen to this story. Obed-Edom was a black man, an African. And he was on the land of the Israelites. Then, what happened was that the ark of God, Nyamia Pamadakano, was killing people. When you touch it, you die. When it comes to your city, it start killing people because they had sinned against God. And God was angry. So, David said, no, I don't want to die, me and my children. Then they decided to go and put the ark in the house of the black man. They went to put the ark in the house of Obed-Edom, who was the black man. That's how they described Obed-Edom, the black man. But the Bible says that when Obed-Edom took the risk, that okay, instead of God's ark, because this is what represented God in those days, instead of God's ark to be outside in the rain, because everybody's afraid of it, I'll take the risk and bring it to my house. If I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. The Bible says that as soon as the ark came into Obed-Edom's house, Obed-Edom and his family started becoming rich. They started getting good things, great things. For 6 months, almost one, and David heard that, hey, since the ark went to the black man's house, the black man hasn't died though. And he stood, then David said, hey, let me go for my thing. Tell somebody, it's good to take risk. If Obed-Edom did not take risk, he wouldn't have enjoyed the blessing. There are some risks when you take, it starts attracting good things to you. Look at Moses. Moses was just a step away from experiencing a miracle he has never experienced before. Before that time, nobody has ever heard of or seen the sea open into two. Say a pumwe biemienu, obian tibida, obian humbida. And he was standing in front of the sea and he was praying, oh God, God, Egypt, for Abel, do something, God, do something. And God said, why are you calling me? Move forward. What did you say? Move forward. We are standing in front of the sea. We should move forward. Where? That means take a step into the sea. What if we get drowned? What if the miracle doesn't happen? It's a divine risk taking. But when he obeyed God and told the children of Israel that God says we should move ahead into the sea, when they started moving, that was when the sea started going back. And all of a sudden, it opened up. Then they started walking in. So if they stood there 100 years crying, they would have been there, they wouldn't have ever seen the Red Sea open. Some of you, you are just one step away from your miracle. It's just one risk you have to take. You are just being too careful. You are too much afraid. It's like you are so afraid. You are so scared. You are calculating a lot of things. Am I speaking to someone? And I'm talking, it may mean different things to everybody here. Because you know what you are involved with. But what I'm saying is that risk must not be a worldly risk. So it must be a spirit-driven risk. Moses took that risk because he heard the voice of God that he should do. He felt it. Peter is the only man to walk on the water aside Jesus. No human being, not even Moses, has ever walked on water. Only Peter. How did it happen? He had to take risk. He said, Jesus, are you sure you are the one? Are you not a ghost? He said, I am the one. He said, okay, if you are the one, ask me to come and I will come. He said, okay, I am the one. Come. If it were you, will you try it? Will you try with your life? The others are saying, Kona Yenge. A ghost. I'm sure they were advising him. Say, hey, menko, unim Yesu. Or yeah, Nadia, man, in your Nadia. Who do you go see? Some of you, when you are about to take a spirit-driven risk, these are the voices you hear. When you say economy, no. Meanwhile, you keep dreaming about it, that you should do this business. You keep having a strong, anytime you pray, you are having a strong edge that this is your husband. Man, yet, you are looking at yourself, this guy or your poor. Anytime you are saying that this one is doomed, this man.
Yes, hey, I'm 31 years. If I leave him now, how will I get a husband?
Say risk taking. That is how we enter into our promise. By taking risk. Peter said, I will try. Peter came out. Stepped. His leg didn't enter. Hey! The second one, his leg didn't enter. Then the other started shouting, go Peter! Go Peter! Wow! Go. But they didn't come. It was only Peter that was able to walk on the sea aside Jesus. Because he was the only one who took the risk. Amen. Look at Esther. If Esther had not, they were coming to kill all the Jews. And somebody must save them. But the law on the land was that you, the queen, or any woman that's whoever you claim you are, you cannot see the face of the king if he has not invited you. If the king is not in the mood to be with you or have sex with you, you don't come to his presence. If he said that today it is Ajwata, your turn, then the servants will come and look for Ajwata and bring you to the king. That's how come Solomon was able to marry 1,000 women without any fight. Because everybody is in his house. When you come, when it's your turn and you come, next 1 year before you come again. Some of them are next 2 years because there are 365 days. So divide it for 1,000 wives. If everybody is coming to him one day, how many years? I think my kids laugh because she's a married woman. She can do the calculation. How many years will it take for you to see the face of your husband again? More than a year. Because 2 years, you are still within less than 1,000. It should be about 3 years. So if you see your husband's face one day, it will take you 3 years as Solomon's wife to appear before Solomon. Are you following me? Do you like such a husband? But it's ritual. Yeah, some people say yes. Those who like money, they will say yes. But they don't understand what they are saying. They are just playing. It's when they marry, then they realize what they are saying. Amen. So Esther was not permitted, even though she was the queen, she could not see her husband. It was a law. And if you dare see the king when he has not invited you, and woe betide you, you met him when he was in a bad mood, they'll cut off your hair. If he's in a serious meeting with his council of elders and you come there, they'll chop off your head. That was the law, and you can't change it. So unless when he sees you and you find favor in his eyes, he has to lift up something. They call it the scepter. What is holding? That stick the king holds, the royal. He has to lift it up so that you will come and touch it. That means that I've decided to spare you to be alive. Your own husband, you can't go there. Honey, honey for where? Your head will go. I follow what I'm saying. But for Esther to save his people, Esther said, pray with me 3 days. I'm also going to pray and fast for 3 days. And I'll go. If I perish, I perish. Say risk. See, that's the language of those who are taking risk. If I perish, I perish. I believe this is what God wants me to do. All the things I'm seeing are saying otherwise. But I will take the risk. If I perish, I perish. I believe this is what God wants me to go, this direction. But every other thing is telling me that it's not safe. But because I've heard from God and I feel that God is talking to me, I will try it. If I perish, I perish. Now that is what brought me to this thing called ministry. I bought my last shoe. And I bought my last two trousers. And I bought my three shirts. And I gathered them. I hung them. I said, this last alawa that I've used to buy this shoe, these trousers, these shirts, may be the last money I'll get till I die. Because what I'm stepping into, I've seen people do church for 20 years and they are still struggling. I've seen people do church for 30 years and they are still struggling. And I am also coming. And I don't even know what God has for me. Whether God will do what he said he will do. Whether I will even pass the test God will take me through so that I will not end up like the people in my family who did church and they failed. The fear was there. I was afraid. So I bought 2 shoes. One black, one brown. Flat ones. Then I bought trousers. Then I bought 3 long sleeves. Then I hung them. Then I told myself, if I perish, I perish. That is how I came into ministry. It was risk. Because in life, it is risky not to take risk. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I pray for you that you too, may God bring you to your dreams. May God bring you to your destiny. May God bring you to the place he has prepared for you. If you take the risk by obeying his voice, by obeying his voice. Some of you, it will mean you have to resign from something and go and start something. It may be something you are afraid of. Some of you, it will mean that you have to drop certain relationship and trust God for another. Some of you, it will mean that you have to move from another job and go and look for another job. Some of it will mean that you have to change something that you are doing in your life. You have to drop some sugar daddy. It's a risk. How will I complete the school? He has been paying for my fees. It's a risk. It's a risk. You don't achieve anything great if you can't dare anything great. Am I speaking to some people here? I'm talking to the wrong people. God is speaking to one person here. You have been in front of your Red Sea for a very long time. Some of it has taken you 10 years. Where you are, you don't want. You know God has something better for you. You know God has something better for you. But you are afraid to leave where you are. You are afraid to change where you are. And you are like, hey, what if I don't get another? What if I don't get a better one? What if I don't get another one? You are afraid. And fear is keeping you in front of the Red Sea. But if today you start taking steps in front, the Red Sea will begin to open. If you begin to take steps, you'll be able to walk on the water. If you begin to take steps, Bible says that Esther entered into the palace uninvited. Entered uninvited. Then the whole council of elders, they said, hey, abomination. The guards drew their sword. They were going to finish her. Then the king got up and lifted up the scepter. And Esther rushed and touched the scepter. Said, I spare you. Then the king said, whatever you want, half of my kingdom, I'll do it for you. She got favor. Some of you, favor is waiting for you. Some of you, great things are waiting for you. But fear is keeping you behind the door. Fear is keeping you behind the door. You are afraid how you survive in Accra. You are afraid how you survive in that school. You are afraid how you survive without that job. You are afraid how you survive. How would things be for you? You are afraid. But I came to witness to you that if God is witnessing to your heart about something, then you need the spirit of Caleb to obey. It is called divine risk taking. Clap your 2 hands. Rise up to your feet.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.
come.